It's time for Caffeinated Comics, a lively discussion and debate on comics, film, television, and collectibles, all fueled by the magic of Frappuccinos. Caffeinated Comics is sponsored by Chimeras Comics. Chimeras is your one stop for comic books, graphic novels, hero clicks, Magic the Gathering, and more. Explore the fantastic at Chimeras Comics. And now, here's your hosts, John and Steven.
Thank you. This is Caffeinated Comics. It is my favorite hour of the week.
Yeah, mine too.
Good. That's good. I hope it's yours. I hope when you're playing this, no matter what hour it is, it's like Tuesday at 3 o'clock and nobody's bothering you to dress. I hope this is your favorite hour.
Just play it in an enjoyable part of your day. I hope nobody's playing this during like, I'm having a shitty day. I'm going to play it. And then they start associating us with their shitty day.
I like to listen to podcasts when no one at work is talking to me. And then I feel like, oh, people that I like are in my job.
They're saying things.
Yeah, they're saying things I agree with. This is great.
I have noticed that too when listening. It's just like, oh, they're having this conversation. It's like, oh, but I said that. You know what I mean? I'll be like, oh, I should say this.
Oh, when you're listening back to this?
And yeah, because I never remember what I say. So then I listen back and then I'm like, oh, I should totally like make this point. And then I actually make that point. It's like, I still agree with past Steven. And that's really enjoyable to
past
me.
Past Steven and past present Steven are friends.
We are.
But what about future Steven?
Future Steven, we leave all our problems for future Steven to take care of. It's like, oh, I have student loans. Past Steven incurred those. Present Steven isn't dealing with those. Future Steven, student loans. That guy's got, he's got my back.
Future Steven's like, you're a dick.
Yeah.
And the problem with Future Steven is by having to pay all your
debts. I've never met him.
How is he gonna
I've never met him.
You never will.
No, I won't.
He is mad at you.
That he doesn't like to.
Terrible.
But the problem is if you're leaving Future Steven with all your past debts, how is he gonna afford the cyborg parts that everyone has in the future?
Oh, by that point, he's going to be dead. No, seriously.
So dead, Steven.
You're banking on it.
We're getting like cyborg parts invested like in our bodies, this means the robots have already turned. And the second my toaster wants anything, it's going in the bathtub. Like, wow. You know what I mean? It's like the second my toaster has like a want, bathtub.
I completely disagree about the rise of the machines. I feel like when my machines are going to turn, and I'm going to go, what do you need?
And they're going to be like, Wally?
And I will, I will serve them. You know what? I will very gladly be plugged into a bath in some giant warehouse in the Matrix and live a life that's better than my life.
You guys are pretty fine.
I am so fine with that.
But what if it's not, John?
No, well, originally it was perfect, and then they rebelled, so they made it kind of normal.
I don't know.
But you know what? I'd be living in the city again. Everything would be green.
Mm. Yeah, but then it wouldn't really be like that. Like yeah, but in real life. But you don't care because you don't know.
No, I don't care. I would totally take the blue pill.
You would?
Yeah.
I'd be like, forget it. Forget it all.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't want to.
You know what that blue pill is? Just a roofie.
Yeah, that's it.
That's fucking what Morpheus is giving
him. It's a forget me now.
Yeah. So you can have the red pill, and you know, which is crack or whatever, or the blue pill, roofie. You know?
So Job is in the Matrix.
Yeah.
Michael.
I mean, what's that?
It's so easy to forget, Michael.
It's that thing that...
The roofie circle.
Dave Navarez always says, he's like, I've made so many bad choices. He quotes him. I feel like that all the time.
Oh, we haven't even introduced ourselves. But, well, I am your host, John Clark. With me, as always, is Present Steven.
Present Steven.
And Dave Gonzalez is back.
Dave Gonzalez is here. How are you doing, guys?
Dave Gonzalez is part of the
show. Actually, technically, by the time this podcast airs, it will be past Steven.
Well, that's it. Past Steven is recorded Steven.
Past Steven.
Yeah, it's a recording. Yeah.
I want to know if Present Steven is going to agree with past Steven.
I feel like Present Steven isn't as good as past Steven, because Present Steven is somewhere in his car or in the shop listening to the podcast going, I wish I was sitting in an overstuffed leather chair drinking coffee.
Yeah.
See, this is where past Steven rules.
Past Steven has got everything works out for him.
And you know what? Future Steve. Future Steve.
He went to college. You know what I mean? He had all those.
He was young and handsome.
He had that really good week where like all these girls were really. That was a good week.
That was a good week. That you was know? A really good week.
Oh, how about this though? Future Steven gets to come back here.
That's true.
That's not bad.
That's true.
And I'm going to mention it, but he has no microphone, but Joe Pakovitz is in the room. But today, we are going to talk about comic book parents. We are in a very interesting age where we are obviously obsessed with things that were originally designed for children.
Yeah.
But now, we are the generation where it's grown up, and there's a lot of it that's not for children.
Yeah, that's something we always run into the comic shop is... there's a big gap from like the really, really young kids, you know, like Prajna's age, and then you get way older kids that are like 13, 14. There's really nothing in between that to give like a kid. A kid will come in and be like, oh, I want to read Batman, and they're 8. And it's like, okay, well, here's a comic that's so dumbed down that it's beneath you. Not where it's like stupid, but it's like it's so they're trying so hard to be kid friendly.
Too childish.
And then the next thing is Joker's carving somebody's face off, and you're 8. And I can't sell you that. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like that's what you say in therapy. Joker was carving somebody's face off, and I'm 8.
Yeah, right? We should add that. That'd be a good one.
Yeah, it's a childish.
Yeah.
And then the next thing is Joker's carving somebody's face off. Joker's girlfriend.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I feel like that's what you say in therapy.
Well, that's what Harley Quinn thinks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, here's
the, Mad Love.
Here's
that was the episode.
Mad Love, right?
Here's
right?
the Bruce Timm stuff.
It's the Bruce Timm stuff. But, you know, like, also, it also shows, like, the void that I left behind with the 1966 Batman at that time. Like, that kind of got that group that you're talking about, like, that, like, 5 to 12 really joined in. We're able to still have that relationship. And, I mean, comics was still a little comic-y back then, but I know when I was watching it, I knew comics were, like, a little bit more, you know, real and adult-like. That got me through the
pain, I remember being
a
kid and watching that, and I didn't know it was a satire or whatever. I thought it was I thought it was serious. I'm like, oh, yeah, Batman really needs to beat up the Joker. They're really going to die in this giant fight.
It's going
to
be over.
I didn't get it.
It's
like
done.
A joke.
That
it wasn't a joke. What are you talking about? That's a documentary. What are you talking about?
Isn't that legitimate? That's what the 60s were like.
It was a really fun
It was only Batman. There were no Beatles. Yeah. There was no Vietnam War. It was just Gotham City.
And I think that's
colors
what got my whole
everywhere.
Thing.
And Sammy Davis Jr. was always in a hotel in Gotham City.
Yeah,
exactly.
And everyone was
hey, Batman, what's going on?
Everyone was just so bright. You know? Everyone was
so
bright.
That's
all
part
the
of the genius of the 1966 show is that when I was a kid watching
guys, you keep saying show, documentary.
Like it was on TV. It's
okay,
a show.
It was a documentary.
The television series that Adam West
started.
This is weird. You guys start saying weird words.
But I took that, in my mind, Super Friends was on Saturday mornings, and they were the same thing to me, because they were on that same level. And then when I got to like comic reading age, I realized Super Friends was kind of childish. Yeah. But then when I got to about high school, which was also when the Tim Burton Batman movie was coming out, and everybody started rerunning that series, because it was the only Batman
there wasn't
content
anything
had.
Show.
Yeah, there was the Adam West show, and there was this movie that was in theaters. There weren't 7 animated series.
Yep.
Then I got it on another level, and I was like on that hipster ironic level of like, oh, this is supposed to be terrible. This is awesome.
Yeah.
And I think that's the reason why that show is so beloved. But you're right. There's nothing that really fits in that gap, because my son is he's into superheroes, not nearly as much as me, but he knows who everybody is. He likes playing with the toys. He likes watching some of the cartoons, but he does not want to see the live action movies,
which like the Tim Burton stuff or the
Nolan? the Marvel stuff.
Oh,
he doesn't
want to see Iron Man.
He doesn't want to see Iron Man, which I'm fine with, because I think I would have a hard time talking about the terrorism and the betrayal.
People.
Yeah, but not even that. It's just like him, like in the cave being tortured. I think we'd be very
We don't let Praj watch any of that.
No, but Captain America, I would let him watch. I don't think there's anything. He's seen Raiders of the Lost Ark. He's seen Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, he knows.
He's seen Harry Potter. Yeah, he has a high level for monsters. He knows monsters aren't real. They don't scare him.
Yeah.
So that's why with Iron Man, it's like, yeah, but people do get kidnapped and tortured by terrorist groups.
Yeah, we don't do that. It's funny because, like, going back to like Batman being so, like, you know, campy, and I felt like it was really going for that gap. And at the same time, I remember watching The Incredible Hulk and thinking that Depressed Man, like, that was not catching me. Like, that was off. And like they did Spider Man. No, I didn't see Miss McGee. I don't know. But Spider Man was on at the same time. Remember that? Like the really
oh,
bad...
Spider Man's Amazing Friends and the Hulk cartoon.
Not the cartoon.
No,
the live action.
Oh, the Bill Bixby. Yeah.
Like, because I was thinking, like, these are the same things as Batman. Like, didn't work out very well for me at all.
Yeah, that they took seriously, but that hasn't aged as well, because it's very much a 70s hour drama, which the pacing is
really slow.
It's hard to watch the stuff from that era.
And then it's like 10 minutes maybe of him as Hulk.
Yeah, Lou Ferrigno is in that for like 10 minutes. And it's mostly Bill Bixby doing detective work.
Right.
Yeah, that was it.
It was The Fugitive with Lou Ferrigno for 10 minutes.
And really boring.
Yeah. It was really boring. But, you know, like, also kids get the instant access. Like, the characters are fed down their throats now and have many different ways to interact with it. Like, I'm kind of jealous of Prodigy. Like, she has every superhero she's ever wanted to see in front of her, like, with, like, this marketing push.
Yeah, this is something I was talking to John about last week, and we're down in the basement. He's got all the toys and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, I've got, like, every Avenger you could ever want. I've got a Captain Marvel action figure. And I'm just like, when I was a kid, I would have killed for this stuff. And it's like, now it's just like, you know, there isn't... that's the thing, I think you even mentioned this, John, is that, like, that's the thing. Ben won't care because it's everywhere. He's got access to every figure. I mean, what's the most obscure DC or Marvel figure you've got that, like, you would have never thought they would have made?
I got guys I don't even know who they are.
Yeah. I mean, if you
like, when they had Build-A-Figures and I would buy the whole set, there's, like, Legion of Superhero characters or...
Yeah.
I'm like,
Who are these guys? And that's what I mean. It's just, like, it's so... They're doing everything for collectors that, you know... I mean, I just remember, even, like, as a kid... I wanted a Sandman action figure because I wanted the Sinister Six that I remember from, like, you know,
reading. Spider-Man Sandman?
Yeah, and they never made one. Because
they've also made the Neil Gaiman Sandman. We're at
yeah,
that level.
See, that's crazy. But that's what I'm talking about. It's like ridiculous. Being a kid and being like, well, you know, I don't want the animated series. I had those figures. It's like, I think I had to paint a Hydra Man action figure to look like Sandman because I was just like.
Toy Biz also did that.
Did they do the same thing?
Yeah.
I probably did beat them too.
Painted him tan.
That's what I did. I painted him tan and then I did try to do green.
They
and, like,
finally made a really nice one, but like years
some
later.
Of them, but that's what I'm saying is like now they're doing everyone. So it's like, I just think it's different. You know, like you said, when you were a kid, how many Batman figures did you have versus how many are there now? And there were a lot when we were kids, but now they've got every villain, they've got every costume, you know, they've got everything. And it's like, how are you?
And also being in a house like Dave and mine, it's all around. So it's not like, you know, my parents never cared about superheroes. There was no one else in my house. I had one sister. I had no brothers. I had... the one cousin who was really into it lived really far away, and he had a stack of 70s Marvels and Mad magazines.
Yeah.
But I didn't see him enough to, like, borrow his stuff.
Right.
He also had a lot of Migos, now that I think about it. Oh. But I wasn't as saturated with it as Ben is. And Ben, and I was saying, Ben likes it, but he takes it for granted. He's just like, oh, superheroes were on TV now. Oh, there's a superhero movie. Oh, the superhero toys in the other room. And, you know, he's just like, yeah, I like superheroes. But... when he finds something for himself, like the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which I was a little too old for in the 80s. I would watch it in high school kind of ironically.
Yeah.
But I was not the demographic when it first came out. He loves that.
Yeah.
And then we've talked about it.
They got me. They got me. Hello. Both generations.
And that's a great moment is when you both discover something new and they're like, Daddy, look at this. And you're like, ooh, I like this.
Yeah, it was like an aha moment that happened right there. I was like, this is really funny. Like, and I got instantly jealous at my kid. I was like, I can't believe you're watching this for the first time.
You get to see this.
Yeah, I was like,
they showed like four of them, and
you know what it is? It's equivalent to. I don't know if you guys know about vinyl culture or anything like that. Digging for records. It's like digging for records. Like I had, I was like, I like these comic book things. I didn't know what they were. Like you just buy them on the way from school. You're like, these things are kind of dope, you know. And the first one they had, I remember, was Infinity Gauntlet and something like that. Everyone was collecting them. I was like, that's a little too sci-fi for me, but I found that Batman that I really liked. I was like, cool. And I was like, oh, I got these things. And my sister caught me, like, she was like watching me look at porn for the first time. She's like, what you got there? And I'm like, nothing at all. Like, and it was a Batman comic I'm hiding over here, and like nothing. And then like a week later, she surprised me and like took me to Philadelphia and went to my first Comic Con, and I was like, oh, snap.
Wow, that early.
Yeah, like, that early. She was like, I was like, this is crazy. Because it was very much like someone's basement. Like, you know, and it was in the middle of a hotel or whatever it is.
That's where they used to be, yeah.
Yeah, but it had a bunch of bald guys that, you know, live with their moms drawing stuff and, like, swapping stuff out.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, it was a time where, like, everyone just brought their comics and just brought it through. And you just take your stack and you gave it to an artist, and they would sort out which ones they did and which ones they didn't.
Dave, with your daughter, how do you, when she comes to you and starts talking about Harley Quinn, do you explain to her, we're going to look at these Batmans, we're not going to look at these Batmans?
They have these great little storybooks that we sell at the shop.
Yeah, these Batman, are actually new.
That, you know, they're, you know, a drawing every four pages, but it's literally storybooks of Batman. And It's very dumbed down, very, very like, you know, Bruce Timm, Batman, you know,
yeah,
going at it.
They just pretty much grab Bruce Timm art off the show, I guess. And then they might even be the episodes for all
might
I know.
Might be, yeah.
But it's finally something.
Oh, yeah, I
DC.
Saw those. I thought those were reprints of the old animated comics.
I wish they were.
Well, those are beautiful. And I don't know, actually, I remember talking to Art and Franco about those. I was like, why don't they reprint those? Because everybody would want them.
Yeah.
Kids would want to read them because they're timeless. Because they're based on this animated series, which still everyone loves. And
my generation wants it, too.
Yeah, yeah. And your generation and
they're
my generation.
They're written by Paul Dini. They're probably, actually, I would consider that to be probably in the top, probably 10 best Batman runs.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Just Batman comics. I mean, it's what, how many issues? 60
issues.
Yeah,
the Mike Parabek stuff is so clean. The story
it's dope.
But,
yeah.
But, and that's a run that they could do these little digests for kids, and it would sell really well. Yeah. They could do a $100 omnibus. Yep. Of like the that whole run, and we would buy it.
And that's something too. DC, they weren't at C22 this year because they were in some Canadian show or something. It was like the same weekend, so they went there because
they were with their Canadian girlfriend.
Yeah, I guess maybe DC went to
Niagara
Falls. Yeah, but the first year we went to C22, they did a retailer summit where they take all the retailers out to. We went to like Giordano's or something, which is awesome.
Giordano's is pretty awesome.
Yeah, well, it was just nice that they took us out. You know, Marvel. I have never talked to anyone at Marvel ever, but I talked to a DC guy every week. We were at the retailer summit, and they're trying to use it as like feedback from the stores. It's like, you know, we'll go all over the country, do all these retailer summits.
It's research.
Exactly. It's really smart. I mean, the company's definitely doing, you know, the right thing. And we were talking to a guy, we're like, yeah, you guys really need more kids' book. It's the one thing we get all the time. You know, you should have a kids' Wonder Woman book. You should just reprint those Bruce Timms, reprint that Justice League. If you have it all, you own it all. It doesn't cost, other than the reprint cost, it won't cost, you don't have to pay an artist or a writer anymore, maybe royalties, but just reprint it. It's a lot
cheaper.
And
that's perfect, too, because they always say that the kids' stuff doesn't sell.
That's what they, then that's what they told us.
Then reprint it, and you've cut out a
low cost altogether, yeah.
And he just said there's no market research to support that. And maybe our store is particular, and I know, certainly is, because it's
right.
up
They're
in
both
scope.
Very,
very
family friendly.
But
yeah.
You guys know, how many stores have you guys been to in the last couple weeks where it's like no kids or it's certainly not kid friendly? And that's what I think is, I think maybe our store is maybe an exception, like is. And there are some stores that try to cater to kids, but it's like, he was just like, yeah, he's like, you know, I'm sure you guys do really well with kids stuff, but he's like, overall the market doesn't support it. And he's not wrong. There's like video games and TV. I mean, when was the last comic, you know, maybe Ben's a little young and Prodigy's a little young.
Ben's just starting to read, so.
Yeah, so maybe they're probably still a little young, but I mean, out of all the kids that come into the store, most of them come in, you know, browsing or they want to get the air conditioner because it's hot out or something. But I do have two or three kids who come in who are probably like, I don't know, 9 or 10, probably getting like 10 or 12 now.
Yeah, that's the perfect age to start reading.
And that's where, and that they are coming in every week and they've just full of questions. Oh, what's good? What's good? And, you know, they just talk your head off and they want to know what's good. And that's awesome. But it's like, that's 2% of the kids that come in that age group. The rest of them come in, they like trash the store, they act like a bunch of hand jobs. It's like, fuck you guys, you know? But so that's what I mean, is that there's just not.
I'm never going to edit that last sentence out.
Oh,
you know?
No, fuck it. I didn't say it so you could edit it.
There you go. Past even agrees.
Yeah, this will be the first podcast not sponsored by Caffeinate or Chimera's Comics. But
it's de-sponsored by.
Yeah, now we're de-sponsored.
It actively keeps people away.
I mean, but what my sister did at that age, I think, of, you know, 10 to 12, is that, you know, she went through everything. She knew which superheroes to give me, which ones not to give me at that time.
That's cool.
And I think...
Well, how much older than you was your sister?
Well, she was 8 years older than me, so she was able to
Yeah, so she was, she's an adult.
And I think when you're at that gray area, it's really the responsibility on your parents. Like, you know, there has to be a little bit of a play of, like, coming in and filter through.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the things that do say teen, I would give to Praj. Like, honestly, like, it's not that bad. It's like, it's like this
right
here.
It's really issue by issue. When I do that a lot, I'll be like, well, you know, pretty much all the main Marvel DC books are all T+, which is like teen and up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And parents will come in, oh, I'm buying for my son. I'm like, which ones are good? And I'm like, well, here's all the DC, here's all the Marvel books. And, you know, they're rated T+. And they're like, well, is that okay? Is there nudity? And it's like, you know what I always say is it's just like the Iron Man movie. People might get killed, but it's not going to be gruesome.
Yeah,
they're not going to show somebody's like head getting cut off. There's never any nudity and there's no swearing. And they're like, oh, that's fine. Because they're all playing video games and stuff where you're running around with guns killing people anyway. So it's like,
right.
It's a different generation. They can handle more than, you know, obviously you don't want to give them like pornography, but you know what I mean? They're going to handle a certain level of comics that's going to be completely fine.
And that's it. Different artists handled it differently. Like if you think about it all together, like I won't let Praj have any of the Bat books, but when like Damien was alive and we were doing that, like it was a pretty joke, like before the new reboot. Yeah,
literally
like,
any Superman comics.
Like when Dick was
good.
Batman.
Yeah, like when, yeah. Exactly. When Dick was Batman, we were all about it. Like we were like, hey, read this. But there were certain issues where like, you know, we did 13, 14, we skipped 15. You know, like whenever they were some gruesome, and then we go back to 16. Like, oh, right. This is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And that it takes that participation of like an adult figure, like looking at that age, if you want to get in there. You know.
Yeah. For with Ben and I, a lot of it's the DVDs because he's just starting to get to reading age. And he knows on the shelf. Mm. Yesterday, his cousin was over, and his cousin's a lot more protected than he is. So I don't want to like. I'm not going to put on...
You don't want to pop the cherry, dude.
I'm not putting
on... You don't want to be that guy.
Yeah, I'm not putting on Lord of the Rings in front of this kid and then get yelled at. But he said, his cousin said, I want to watch Batman. And I said, great. And I turned to Ben and I go, which Batman should your cousin watch?
Yeah.
And he looked at me and went, Brave and the Bold.
That's it.
And I was like, that's exactly...
He knows exactly,
He
yeah.
knows, because he know like, he's not an expert. He can't tell you who did what.
No.
But he knows that Batman the Animated Series is more serious than Brave and the Bold. Yep. He actually doesn't like the 66 show that much.
Mm.
He says it's a little boring, because there's a lot of talking.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's a lot of Adam West.
You have
West
to wait a lot
Ward.
For the fights.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like two fights in every episode.
Very true.
And it's just not as dynamic. And, you know, we have... I'll say it now. We have bootleg DVDs that we bought at C2E2 because Warner Brothers never put out Blu-rays.
Yeah, which you would buy because you've got 800
I
Blu-rays.
Will pre-order them. I am buying. I'm buying the next generation Blu-rays, that's no true. Matter what they cost, because they look gorgeous. They are streaming on Netflix, and I am buying them.
And on that,
I
topic
will buy
too,
that. Man,
I think
in 2 seconds.
Something funny. Must have happened recently with the 66 Batman show, because they're licensing all those action figures now.
Yep,
and they're coming out with not quite a full set of HeroClix, but they're coming out with HeroClix for the Batman 66.
There's everything. There's bobbleheads. There's
yeah, but
Nezits,
it's all recent.
Yeah, they signed some agreement, but the one thing I am unclear on, which I find strange, is that. I don't know if it includes DVDs, because you'd think that would be the first thing.
That's what
if
I'm saying.
They, if they
can't include
it.
DVDs if they're not including it, you know?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I definitely think that there is, it's just strange. Like I said, you know, you got to figure out at what point is a kid, are you able to get a kid into it, and what point this is too violent or something.
Right, and every kid is different.
Yeah, exactly.
As I said, you know, you know, when I was a kid, I was a lot more squeamish than a lot of other kids.
Yeah.
Like my best friend in grade school, who really turned me on to Marvel Comics, he was reading John Byrne's Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
He was reading Simonson's Thor. He was reading Frank Miller's Daredevil while I was reading Tom DeFalco's Spider-Man and Chris Claremont's X-Men. And he was reading heavy metal, and he was watching Friday the 13th and Dawn of the Dead. And it was like... And I would say to him as a kid, I'm like, that's way too intense. I can't deal with that.
Yeah, I remember even just not, and I don't know if it was just maybe horror stuff, and I'm still not crazy about horror because it's like, you know, to me that's not entertainment. I'm more entertained by comedy or adventure, Indiana Jones, these kinds of things.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do think, like you said, every single kid's going to be different. So it's like you got to really kind of figure out who's, you know, like you said, as a parent, you just judge for yourself, like whether or not a kid's, you know, ready or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, so. and that's the real tricky thing, is dealing with other people's kids.
Like, yeah, that's
you know,
the
my cousin's
part,
like,
dude.
You know what? Ben's favorite movie is Pirates of the Caribbean, which is rated PG-13.
Yeah.
He is obsessed with it. He loves Captain Jack Sparrow, and I'm like, great. And it's one of those things where I was, you know, 30 when the first one came out, and I went, yeah, that movie's good, and moved on.
Yeah.
He discovered it's his greatest thing in the world, and then...
He's like, it's on.
And yeah, and I watch it again, and I'm like, wow, that first one's really good. And I start to get more into it as he gets more into it. But it's a PG-13 movie. If he brings one of his friends over from school, and he tells them, "Hey, we're gonna watch Pirates of the Caribbean," I'm gonna
be like,
"If they've
never seen it, you don't want to get in trouble."
Yeah, I'm gonna be like, "You know what? Let's put on Rango, because that's also Johnny Depp and Gore Verbinski, mm-hmm.
but
and
it's much
really
safer.
Good."
And
yeah.
Is it a PG?
That I think is G. I think Rango.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we have the same problem. Probably going to school, and she talks about the Joker. People look at me like, "You're a kid, okay?" Because, like, you still have the picture, like back in the day, like. They had J as the letter of the day, and everyone is like doing all these J words, and Praj is like, Joker, and she's like smiling out. And we're like, oh, snap. Like, and the teachers look at me like, is this okay? Like, do you know
she's... Is everything okay?
Yeah,
home?
like
well, and that's
she,
maybe the
is
thing
she
is
watching porn?
You're thinking like, oh, I'm showing her like the Bruce Timm Joker or maybe the Cesar Romero Joker.
That's it.
And they're thinking Heath Ledger.
Heath Ledger.
Put a guy's...
And that's
face
exactly
to a
it, is that like with no research, people are just going through and making these assumptions.
What they know.
You know?
Yeah,
yeah, Batman's like, the biggest one because there's so many levels of Batman.
Exactly.
Like Spider-Man, even though... The Sam Raimi stuff was pretty violent. The last movie was dark and not great. But Spider-Man's still kind of fun. Like when you say...
He's in a colorful costume.
Yeah, when
yeah.
you say Dr. Octopus, you kind of have one vision in your head.
Yeah.
You say the Joker, I get five different ones in my head
exactly.
immediately.
Right.
You know, not even my favorite. I go, it's almost like when you say Iron Man and you see the Hall of Armors in your head. It's
yeah.
like that's as many Jokers
yeah.
as I see.
And the burden on me is also going up to other parents. And I know like... Praj brings kid over, got, like, have to put on the hold on, let's wait to see where they're at. But then I feel like as another parent is educating the person, like, this is an entire world
yeah.
of fantasy being created that, like, you can introduce your kid to safely. Like, Joker isn't, like, for me, Joker cuts people's faces off. He cuts his own face off, right?
Yeah.
Like, for Praj, Joker is a guy that throws laughing bombs into a bank. And then runs around silly stealing quarters.
And hitting people with
and,
fish.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And hitting people with fish. Yeah. Like, that's her Joker. And she thinks it's hilarious.
Yeah,
like,
Ben loves the Joker, too. It's,
yeah. He's like everyone's kid's favorite villain because he's so silly and he gets away with it.
That's
and it's
it.
Funny.
And Cesar Romero know? Was my favorite Joker. I think that's one of the reasons I love the Joker is watching Cesar Romero as a kid.
Yeah.
And then you know, them growing up thinking Jack Nicholson was great, then thinking Mark Hamill was great, then thinking Heath Ledger was great. And I was like, okay, everybody does this character differently and really well.
Yeah.
And it brings out different shades of the character, and that's the whole thing. It makes it more flesh. It was like, wow, there's so many different takes on this one entity that like we can introduce at certain
yeah.
levels, which makes it very much like, you know, our modern day Beowulf. You know, like we're able to like process it in so many different ways.
Except instead of changing it for each era, each generation, we have them all running simultaneously.
Yeah, all at the same time.
And that was a spark of genius that hit Warner Brothers, because the story was Bruce Timm brought in the original designs for Batman the Animated Series, and initially the studio went, this doesn't look like the movie.
Yeah.
They're like, we expected you to draw Michael Keaton and draw Jack Nicholson
yeah.
and then make up Tim Burton-y kind of other...
Kind of Looney Tunes.
Villains to
villains.
Go with it, yeah.
And
they made that. It was called Beetlejuice, the cartoon.
Yeah. which also wasn't
bad. Which was genius.
I love that cartoon.
But, you know, I'm able to put my real Batmans up on the wall and all the original art, and Praj has a relationship with in a way because she morphs it in her head to that Bruce Timm-like Batman.
Yeah,
you know,
like, fitting into what
yeah.
she thinks
you know,
it looks like.
And it's really cool, like, seeing her grow up. But, you know, the part of it is being jealous, like, digging in the crates. Like, I did all the digging. You know what I mean? Like, I did all the finding the obscure bands in the 80s and 90s of which superheroes were dope, and now our kids get the media push and our love, because when we watch a movie, when we watch a trailer, come on, we were all there when Spider-Man the first one came out and we saw the webs between
the
Twin Towers. Yeah,
yeah,
the Twin Towers were like, oh, like we were all there, like, oh my god. So when we see that movie, even though we now have like our critic eyes on, a little bit of that glare is there when we're looking in the eye, like, yo, there's a Spider-Man on a real live movie.
And to me, that speaking of the trailer specifically, this was like, I was like, it was 2001 that happened, that trailer.
Yep.
And at this point, I don't even think we had like dial-up internet or something, and I didn't go on the internet. I was playing with action figures, and I was in like 8th grade or whatever. And I remember seeing that trailer, not knowing they were even making a Spider-Man movie, and then seeing that trailer and just being like, I think the first thing you see is like a web shootout, and I was like, oh my god. And I was like, oh my god, they're making a spider. And then I saw him in the web and he like swings, and I was like, that blew me. No trailer in my life will ever match that first trailer.
Never,
the shock
never
of the surprise, because you don't see it. It's just like, oh, a bank robbing movie. We've seen, you know, Gone in 60 Seconds and all these movies like cars and robbing and stuff, and then the fucking web shoots out, and I was like, like my entire body was a
the same thing. The same exact thing happened to me when I was watching Transformers, and the first trailer where they didn't show a Transformer at all, it was just a shadow. It's because it instantly taps into the years and years and years of explaining to somebody why I like that cartoon, like why it was so amazing. And now my kid is all about Transformers. Like, I did all the legwork.
Yeah,
I did it all.
Yeah. But as a parent, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to introduce them to this world. And I always say that because, you know, I'm still buying action figures and I have a huge comic collection. And I keep going, oh, well, Ben's going to love this, you know. And then But there's a chance that he just won't care.
Yeah, because then you say it's like, you know, you'll be like, oh, here's Star Wars, and he's bored with Star Wars.
He hates Star Wars.
Yeah.
He doesn't like, he plays with the toys. Like, he's playing with the AT-AT this morning because the AT-AT's a really cool toy.
Yeah.
But I put on Empire Strikes Back, he walks out of the room.
Yeah.
And one of his best friends in kindergarten loves Star Wars.
Yeah.
So it That's is. It's really kid by kid.
Case by case, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. Case.
But it's the same thing. I got three nephews, and I'm a terrible uncle, so I have no idea how old they are. But they're all, you know, around 10, 12, 13, 14.
They're all underage.
You know, they're all under 18. They're all under 18 and over. Yeah, they're between 8 and 18.
So none of them can drink.
Yeah, I know none of them can drink, and, you know, so.
So I shouldn't have gave that one that drink.
But it's probably not. Well, like I said, I'm a terrible uncle. And, you know.
And you especially shouldn't let them drive after.
Right, right.
No,
right.
I think one of them's getting a license.
Get
maybe.
Me here.
16. I don't know. Anyway, but it's like, it's so wildly different. It's like, okay, you know, this one's really into, like, Sonic. But it's like, well, I don't. Yeah. I'm not into Sonic, you know, and this one's into drawing. All right, cool. We're on the same page with, like, drawing. But then, like, it's just really hard to just think, like, you know, I don't want to push anything on them. I'll be like, you should be reading Avengers. And it's like, they don't give a shit about Avengers. Yeah, so, like, let them figure out what they like and then kind of, you know.
The thing that keeps getting forgotten in this age of, like, protecting children and keeping them shielded is that children are people. The problem is there's this other level of what is appropriate.
Yeah.
You know, because you also don't want to be the parent that the teacher goes, why is your child talking about this?
Yeah.
In class and
even
telling other children.
As the retailer, I've got to think, like, a lot of times, a kid will come in and I'll talk to him a lot and he'll be like, go, and he's going to buy, you know, I don't know what the hell, like a Batman book or something. And it's like, you know, that kid I know, because I talked to him, he's seen the movies and stuff, the new Nolan ones, he can handle what's in this book. But that I don't know is his parent okay with what's, you know, what these
do you have an angry parent coming back tomorrow shaking
exactly
it at
and that's never happened, thankfully. But it's like you're always kind of just like, man, this is a cool kid, I want him to read this cool story, but oh man, I wonder if a parent's gonna come in and yell at
that's
me for
the
this,
scariest
you know?
Part I mean it keeps coming back over and over. It's more about educating the other people about, like, the culture that this is,
yeah,
you know. And it's educating other parents. Like, I have it at the bakery all the time. Like, I instantly come in and be like, oh, this is the comic book freak. He's like, I don't necessarily don't like comic books, you know, like, I like this one character, Batman,
right. Yeah,
you know. And I like the art of how a comic book, you know, how a story can be told through comic books.
Yeah,
I don't like the Avengers, I don't like anything. And, you know, and then once we start understanding that and, like, sharing that idea, like, I instantly, like, you should read this book called Saga. And I give it to the adult parents, because if I give it to them and they start noticing that, like, this is a really good medium to, like, to tell a story, it has an endless budget, because it's up to the artist's imagination. Yeah, right. You know, like, and there's so many different ways to tell a story. Once you get past that, like, this is for kids, then they start getting appreciation for it. That appreciation is brought down to their kids.
Yeah,
and then progeny them.
It's really kind of staggering too how many adults come into the store looking to buy stuff for their kids, and they're like, oh, they still make comics, and then, or they're like, oh, these are all for kids, right? And it's like, actually, my kids section is one bookshelf in the entire store.
Yeah.
Every other bookshelf is all adult stuff, you know?
She's like, you sell comics? How do you keep the doors open?
Yeah.
This is crazy.
And it's just like, I think people are just so kind of ignorant.
They think they're
to
making
it.
Movies of characters that haven't existed.
Yeah, she's
for
like, where
years.
Do you hide the crack to sell the story and keep it supported from?
Right.
You know, like,
and
where,
that's what's kind of silly. It's just like, you know, they don't even know that they're like, oh, these are so, they're so, I grew out of this. And it's like,
there's no such thing. No.
They're stories, lady. It's the oldest form of entertainment.
Let's, and that's the best part, is that there are stories that, you know, everyone could share in and be a part of.
Yeah.
This is A Lot of Dads. Let's talk to a geek mom. Let's talk to Amy Patrick. I first met Amy in New York doing stand-up. She tweets under Mom to Sadie, and you can follow her now. But first, let's listen.
Well, she just started being allowed to watch Doctor Who.
Oh, yeah.
Because we kept it, like, I feel like Doctor Who rides that line. Like, I know in England it's family time, but I feel like it can be terrifying. People, I feel like nowadays, are so afraid of kids being afraid. Or being upset. Like, it's very, like, the average person is like, well, they can't see that, they can't watch that, they can't do this. FaceTime, screen time, whatever. And it's like, when we were kids, those Amblin movies are terrifying. They're always like, kids are getting kidnapped. Houses are blowing up. People are losing their lives. There's orphans. There's aliens. And it's like, we just went and saw those at the movie theater with our family. Like, I saw Gremlins in a movie theater. I think I was like 8 years old. That movie is so not 8-year-old appropriate. But there were a ton of kids in there. And yeah. I feel like...
That's one of the first movies to be rated PG-13.
It was what created the PG-13.
Yeah, that and Temple of Doom.
I've written on this and, like, written some articles and different things. And people were horrified by those two movies. And that's why PG-13 happened. People were like, no. No, thank you.
Well, I found some of the Muppets are terrifying if you go back to, like, the 70s.
Well, the Alice Cooper episode of the Muppets?
Yeah, that's all creepy. That's horrible. Did you ever see the first appearance of the Count?
No.
I had nightmares for 15 years, and you can see this on YouTube. It's a scene where Ernie and Bert are making a pyramid out of blocks, and the Count shows up, and he wants to count the blocks, but they don't want him to mess up the pyramid. So he hypnotizes them, and he turns them into zombies. And then he, like, messes up the blocks when he counts them, and then he does it, like, three times, because the first time Ernie's not there, and then, like, Ernie blames Bert, but then the Count comes back and hypnotizes both of them. I had recurring dreams that everyone on Sesame Street turned into a vampire.
That's horrifying. Oh, that's hilarious. And horrifying and hilarious.
Yeah, I still kind of, you know, now I have Walking Dead dreams, but they're kind of the same dream.
It's just you've replaced the Count with, like, a rando from Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, my son knows what Walking Dead is. We will not show it to him, but he knows that there's a zombie show that we watch and that it's too scary. You know, people always say, oh, what order are you going to show Star Wars? Are you going to show them prequels? Are you going to show them? My son has yet to sit through a single Star Wars movie. He knows who everyone is.
Right, because it's culturally, it has become at a certain point embedded in your DNA. Like, Star Wars is one of those things that most people know something about it, even if they don't like it.
Right, and I always see these articles written by guys who are single, who are saying, like, I'm not going to let them know who Darth Maul is. Good luck with that, because he's going to go to kindergarten, and it's going to be on his friend's backpack.
Well, and it's also, and geeks don't want to hear this, but they're as bad as the cheerleader moms in, like, pushing their same, like, oh, my kid's really into this. And you're like, are they really, really? Because, like, a perfect example is there was a guy that had a daughter also my daughter's age, and he invited us. He's like, you know, oh, me and my daughter, we go to the comic book shop every Wednesday. She loves going there. Okay, great. We'll meet you there. We get there. My daughter really likes Young Justice, RIP, and they had a comic book of it, and she was looking at it. And the other little girl was terrified to see a picture of someone punching someone else. And I was like, maybe your daughter actually doesn't like this stuff. And you just need to be here on Wednesday. And you're just trying to mold someone. Like, it's like taking the kid who's not athletic, but you love sports, and being like, no, you need to play football. Everybody plays football. Everybody does this. And it's like, sometimes we got to let people find their own thing. And if you are into geek stuff, you'll be into geek stuff.
Yeah, my dad's a Civil War buff.
Oh, no.
That didn't stick.
That's a whole other ball of wax.
Yeah. He doesn't dress up and leave, because that would necessitate leaving the house. But
Civil War people, they've got their own thing going on.
Man loves Lincoln. So you're finding with your daughter that you're leaving it up to her and then letting her discover things. Now you're saying you've let her watch Doctor Who. Did she show interest in it, or did you say, you know what, you're old enough, we're going to watch this, why don't you stay up and watch it? How did you present it?
She asked if she could watch it, and we really decided to curate a couple episodes that are not super scary. Mm-hmm. And that feature kind of, like, the first one she watched with her dad, and they watched, like, an Eccleston episode.
Those are all kind of creepy.
She was not a fan of Eccleston. Like, she did not enjoy his kind of grumpy countenance. Mm-hmm. So then then my husband watched another one later that was David Tennant, but with Billy Piper.
Okay.
And she really, really, really liked it. Because she also really likes to find a female voice that is young and kind of like her. Like, that's why she likes things like Young Justice. Mm-hmm. Because there's lots of girls.
Yeah, lots of strong female role models.
Yes, and that's kind of her thing. Like, if it's something with just guys, she's not... She has to find a female avatar to kind of, like, latch onto as the person she relates to. So with the character of Rose Tyler, like, she's hypothetically, like, 18 years old. Mm-hmm. That's really big for Sadie. Like, she's like, oh, that's a girl who's doing all these cool things. She does. She kind of likes Matt Smith, but she doesn't really care for his companions.
Okay, neither Amy nor Clara.
No, she only likes Amy because her name is Amy, and my name is Amy. Mm-hmm. And she likes to go, did you know Doctor Who knows someone named Amy? So that's a thing.
I love that when they figure it out and they assumed you haven't.
Right.
They assume you've been watching it for 3 years and going, that name sounds familiar, but what's my name again?
Exactly. But I would say she enjoys Doctor Who kind of in the abstract. Like, she likes the idea of him, like the time travel, the two hearts, like that stuff is really interesting to her. Mm-hmm. But in the long run, she'd rather watch Back to the Future or Ghostbusters.
Yeah, I'm loving that too. Is that they Ben loved Ghostbusters when he was about three, which led me to believe that his scare bar was set pretty high.
I'm more like, my husband is more of a curator of things he would rather watch with her, mm-hmm. kind of thing. Like
filling the DVR.
Yes, he likes Young Justice, so they started watching Young Justice together. Mm-hmm. And she got really into it, and she just likes it because it's got all those characters. Like, you know, she went as Magan to Comic-Con.
Oh, cool.
And wore, like I had to design the outfit, which that's not my core competency. But I created a Magan costume, and then we were like, you know, you could be Magan shapeshifted. And she's like, no, I really need the makeup. So we had to put on full body green, like green legs, green arms, green face. And, you know, of course, because you go to Comic-Con, like when grown people see that, they go nuts. Because Magan is kind of a deep cut of a character. Like, you have to be all in into that life to know who she is.
It's like a guy in a Misfits t-shirt.
Yes. So people were like, yeah. And she did that all on her own. Like, I was not like, what do you want to wear? She was like, I want to do this. Like, she really loves Avatar and Korra. Mm-hmm. So for Halloween, she was like, we all need to go as people from Korra. Great. She did not want to go as Korra. I had to go as Korra.
Who did she want to go as?
She went as Asami. And she wore a black dress, big heeled boots, a pilot's cap, a long black wig someone let her borrow, and then we had to make the electric arm thing. For anyone listening to this who does not watch Legend of Korra, you should just go look up Asami on Google Images.
You know the amount of hits the podcast usually gets? Let's just say that every one of them is watching Legend of Korra.
Everyone knows Korra? Good. Okay, so... Yeah.
But Korra is the sequel to Avatar: The Last Airbender, which is not the M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Oh, no. No, no, speaking of that nonsense.
Oh, God. Yeah,
let's... I never saw it. I was so agitated by all the white people in it.
Yeah, I you know what? I did it on the Netflix How Bad Could It Be?
kind Here's of. The thing.
And he took the first season, tried to make a movie out of the first season. So it's 2 hours of people standing there spouting exposition.
on like a boat.
Yeah, they just stand there and they talk about things that have happened off screen, which is like, yeah, that was three great episodes that you just...
You're like, that was cool, you guys. Yeah, it was Garrett, amazing. Did you like that? Because we're just going to talk about it.
Yeah, it's...
And, I mean, then the whole thing is you're doing season one, you don't even get Toph, right, who's the best character.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I clicked into that late. I was recommended it right before it ended, and that week... This is when Ben was a baby and I was just home with him. They had a marathon of the entire series, and there were like 10 a day.
Yes.
And it was filling my DVR, so I had to watch them. So that was like, I couldn't get to 30 episodes and then have my DVR tap out.
Right.
So I crammed the thing in my head in about 4 days.
I mean, it's such a good show. Both shows are excellent.
Yeah, that show is like the combination of Miyazaki animation and Joss Whedon writing.
Yes, absolutely. And here's the thing. If you're going to hire a bunch of white people, Mae Whitman, working actress. You could have just put her in a brown wig and made her Katara. She's available.
Yeah, she's on Arrested Development Season 4 now.
She's Tinkerbell in every Tinkerbell cartoon. Like, Mae is working. You could have just thrown a brown wig on her and been like, yeah, you're playing Katara. Like, if you're going to hire a bunch of white people, just hire the people doing those voices. Like, I saw the actors and I was like, I can't. I'm logging out from life. Yeah, I will watch this movie.
That's a tough thing now with all the remakes, is that when they make something new that's not as good as it was, and then you're trying to steer them towards something that's really old. You know, you're like, well, no, that new movie that your friends are talking about, no, that's terrible. Let's watch this thing from 20 years ago. We were watching, they had all the Iron Man cartoons on. So they had both the Iron Man from the 90s and the Armored Adventures, the CG show they just did on Nickelodeon.
Yes.
And we watched one of each, and he actually pointed to the 90s one, and he was like, I want to watch more of this. And I'm like, really? Because this one's made for you. Because I don't like it. And I figured, well, it must be made for you. Well, apparently nobody likes it.
Right. I mean, here's the thing. DC right now had an amazing thing going on with DC Nation.
Yeah.
And that Green Lantern, although CGI, which is not my favorite thing, that's a great cartoon. Yeah, my daughter loved it. But now she also likes the Green Lantern First Flight.
Oh,
because it has Arisia, who's a female, who has a lot to do. And
yeah, I haven't shown him those. I thought those might be too old for him. But
I mean, I feel like it's, I personally feel like all that stuff is kind of like, you got to know your kid.
Yeah.
And know if they're going to find it boring. You know, like, because that Green Lantern First Flight is a little esoteric.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's so, but again, so much better than the movie.
Here's the thing. Like, I get that people are invested in the Ryan Reynolds business.
Yeah, which is why that Deadpool movie keeps getting talked about.
But you already had Nathan Fillion doing a pretty good Hal Jordan in that cartoon.
Yeah.
And kind of looking like Hal Jordan more than Ryan Reynolds. Like, if that's your, you know, because that to me, like with Robert Downey Jr., like, yes, he's very good at the acting part, but he just looks like Tony Stark.
Right. Well, the thing about Robert Downey is Tony Stark. I was talking to my wife last night. The thing they announced, I said, that's great, because Robert Downey Jr. is a guy that's brilliant and very damaged.
Yes.
And that's why they fought for him. And that now he's, you know, because of that movie, he's the most famous guy in the world.
Yes. I mean, he has been the demon in the bottle. Like, that's already happened to him in real life.
Yeah. The late 90s were all the cover of issue 128. Just every morning looking himself in the mirror going, I was on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, for 1 year, you guys.
The year no one will put on DVD.
No, I think it's when it comes to like exposing kids to things, like I'm always more like see what they seem like they're into. Like even if it's even if you think they're going to like something, kids can always surprise you.
He hates Star Trek. He hates Star Trek so much that I threaten him with it.
My daughter finds it unbelievably boring.
Yeah, but you know, when I look back, I didn't like it until I was at least 10, because I was about 10 when Wrath of Khan came out.
Well, it's also, I mean, it's Star Trek as a concept, you have to be ready to kind of engage in some higher level, like, Roddenberry is really just promoting a liberal utopian agenda, which I can totally get behind.
Right.
But it's never a show I liked. Like, I told somebody, I was like, I respect the hell out of Gene Roddenberry and what he did and the agenda he was trying to promote in a really troubled time in the 60s. Mm-hmm. But no, it's not for me. My daughter is really, this will tell you how far into the geek life my daughter is. We watched that when they talked about Marvel Phase 2, they had that like short that was in front of one of the DVDs.
Yes.
And someone posted it on like YouTube and we're looking at it. And they show the Ant-Man footage.
Right.
And Edgar Wright did. All my daughter cares about is that Wasp is going to be in that Ant-Man movie.
Of course. There's your
Because she loves Wasp from the Avengers cartoon.
There's your female role model.
Exactly. So she's like, well, is Wasp going to be in that Ant-Man movie? I was like, I don't know. So then, because I'm a caring mother, I got on Twitter and sent Edgar Wright a personal message to find out if Wasp is going to be in the Ant-Man movie. And he said, I can't talk about it. So,
Well, you got a response, which is nice.
I know. That was nice. I mean, I think it's because I asked about Wasp and Ant-Man, and, you know, he's been trying to make that movie for like a gajillion years.
Right.
So,
well, they were both originally supposed to be in Avengers, and it took so long that they got cut. Joss Whedon said he wrote a draft that had them both, and then Wasp became Buffy.
Okay.
So,
I mean, that's –
Because that was supposed to be out long before Avengers was out.
But Janet Pym is a terrible character. Her power is terrible. She's really just like a comic quip machine.
Well, yeah, there's two things I will defend about the Wasp. One was when I was first reading Marvel Comics, I wasn't a huge Avengers fan, but she was the leader, and Hank Pym wasn't even there. So I gave her more props. Second, she reminds me of every girl I dated in high school.
That's about right.
Yeah. Just, you know, perky and overdriven.
And with a kicky hairdo.
Yeah, yeah, you know.
Giant DJ headphones.
Little above the neck, feeling kind of sassy.
Every female person that comes into the Avengers, their entrance has to be so kind of forced.
Yeah. Well, it's always this. The X-Men were the same way. It's always this when the team is popular. They're always poochy. It's like,
yes,
it's like changing the doctor. I remember when Bishop came into the X-Men, he was just shoved down my throat. I'm like, I get it. You're Black Cable. Let's move on.
Every panel has five asterisks.
Yep.
To say, check Uncanny X-Men number 247. Check Extra X-Men. Da, 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 da. You know, he's like, you can't just show up and be like, hey, what's going on with the X-Men, guys?
Yeah, it's not like Spider-Man where the first page, I'm just webbing around the city.
Batman or Superman. Like Batman, it's like, I'm on the streets of Gotham.
Yeah.
The dirt is knee high. And you're like, okay, got it.
I like the Batmans where he's just sitting in the Batcave waiting for something to happen.
I mean, he's just the turd in the punch bowl. Always. You know, it's like there's an old Justice League Unlimited where they turn into children.
Yeah.
Okay. My daughter loves that episode. We've seen it like a million times. At the very end, we've all learned our lesson. We got Mordred, yes. And Wonder Woman, just trying to make conversation, like normal people do, is like, hey, it was hard being a kid. You know, that was such a weird adventure. And then Batman turns to her and is like, I haven't been a kid since I was 8 years old. And she just walks away and I'm like, yeah, way to be a dick, Batman. Like, that was not the conversation. We get it. Crime Alley. We get it. Gotham is a cesspool. We get it.
That's the thing about the Justice League for me. I always feel that whenever they say, why is Batman there? He has no superpowers. And they're like, oh, because he's so smart. But to put up with that little dickitude, then I have to think, you know, I guess Superman and the Flash are kind of dumb.
Well, the best part is when Wonder Woman in that scene, if you go rewatch it, it's on Netflix streaming, all people listening to this podcast. She just walks away. Like, she just looks at him for, like, a split second and is like, deuces, I'm out. And I'm like, you know, why? Why, Batman? And I love Batman. Like, I'm actually a huge Batman fan because I love all his, like, dickish nonsense. Like, yeah. Hey, guys, where's Batman? I was here 4 hours ago. I was testing for everybody's heartbeats to make sure you all got here on time. And you're like, oh, Batman. What, Batman? Why do you have all this time? You run a company?
That's the thing. He doesn't have to run it. He's got Lucius Fox. He's just like, he sleeps till 4, and then he worries until the sun goes down.
Oh, I don't even know.
I always like Batman always never makes sense to me in the Justice League, but I like Batman just because Gotham City is such a hole. And it's like, all right, this is the only guy that's going to do anything of any value in this city.
But yet he's not, because if you watch or read something like Batman Beyond, he failed.
Yep.
Gotham is worse in the world of Batman Beyond than it ever was with him. Because with him, it was just a bunch of randoms. In the world of Batman Beyond, everybody's calcified into these gangs of like roaming madmen. And you're like, well, you really screwed the pooch on this one, Batman.
It's hard to get away from that. As great a character as Commissioner Gordon is, it's hard to get away from that Adam West feeling where it's just Commissioner Gordon and Chief O'Hara is way past retirement at that point.
Yes.
And they just terrified by everything that happens to the point where villains just show up in his office.
Yeah.
It's just like, look at me. I'm the Riddler. What you going to do? I got a phone.
I got this big spotlight. I got a big Clegg light that I bought.
Yeah,
playbill.com.
I have a phone under a cake plate. That's the extent of my job.
Although I really have been enjoying Batman: The Brave and the Bold.
Oh, I love The Brave and the Bold. That's
because they just kind of go, "Yeah, he's the worst, you guys."
Yeah. Well, that it was such a great dynamic that they just always made him the straight man, and they were just like, "How can we make each character weird in a different way?" And then
I love that Guy Gardner is kind of like a date rapey oaf.
Yep.
It's such a bizarre conception of a Green Lantern. You know, like, I think of Green Lanterns as being very kind of noble. But my Green Lantern knowledge is shallow at best.
No. Well, that's why that's why you need to read Justice League International.
Oh, Jesus.
That's one of the best books ever made. Blue Beetle, Booster Gold, Guy Gardner, Martian Manhunter eating cookies.
Listen, I'm a huge Booster Gold fan.
Why wouldn't you be?
Because I think as a character, he's the most realistic. If I had a bunch of tech that was going to make me seem cool in 2013, I'd come to 2013. And be like, guess what, guys? I'm amazing. I mean, that Booster Gold Justice League episode is great.
Yeah.
Because they treat him like the Anvil of the comic book world. Because he's like, hey, guys, I'm here. And they're like, who are you? I'm Booster Gold, baby. And they're like, doesn't sound familiar. What have you done? Only traveled through time with this gold hawk on my shoulders. I'm amazing. And they're like,
I got a robot that sounds like Fry.
Yeah, and everybody's like, where's Superman? Where's Batman? Where are those people we've trusted?
Of course,
that's a glorious episode of Justice League.
That is the problem with DC in general, and that's pretty much what they say at Warner Brothers. No matter what character they bring in, they go, where's Superman? Where's Batman?
Yes. Nobody cares.
No.
It's just like with Wonder Woman. Like, they had a chance for a perfect Wonder Woman. Her name is Lucy Lawless.
Yeah.
And you could have made that movie 15 years ago, and it would have been the tits, as the Brits say. Like, she was ready.
And that's when and that's when Joss Whedon was working on it.
Yeah, and then now, I actually think Gina Carano, the MMA woman.
She's
in Haywire, Soderbergh's movie.
I know she's super hot and can fight, but I don't know if she can act. Can she?
You have to act to be Wonder Woman.
I think
it's a controversial statement.
Amy, I think you should act to be the lead in a blockbuster movie.
You know, that's an old-fashioned thought. I don't know what generation you're living in, John, because...
That's why I like Iron Man. I like Iron Man because the guy is a good actor.
Listen, that's why I think the Batman movies work. Like, I felt like it was weird that people were like, oh, Anne Hathaway as Catwoman. And I'm like, she can actually act, you guys.
Yeah, she was great in it.
And she was kind of the best Catwoman since
Michelle
Pfeiffer is amazing as Catwoman.
Yeah, the thing is, every Catwoman is pretty awesome except for Halle Berry. So
yeah.
You do. It's kind of like Joker. Like, Michelle Pfeiffer was great. Julie Newmar is amazing.
Eartha Kitt does a whole other thing, but it's also Kitt effective.
Eartha Kitt's just scary crazy.
Yes.
Just like, stop purring. Stop.
Listen, that's what Batman's into.
Yeah, you know what?
He's into crazy. Like, that's why he is so attracted to Catwoman, because it's like, hey, you're the woman who's going to, like, just show up at my house at like 2 a.m. be like, hey, I brought wine and pizza. And he's just going to roll with that because he likes that.
Yeah, well,
he's a creep.
Well, his two options are Catwoman, who is, I will slip into your window and then steal things.
Right?
Or Talia, who's like, hey, you know, my dad's going to take over the world and he's a resurrected zombie.
Oh, Jesus.
Again, almost that's everyone I dated in college.
the greatest thing in the world.
This week.
Is there anything that you think they could or that you want them to learn from comics?
John?
Not to be heavy-handed about it, but moral storytelling.
Mm. Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
First of all, you know, they have a determination for what's right.
Mm.
And the best superhero stories is always when things get tough, they don't give in.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not to do what they want, and it's not to do what's easiest, which is why I love Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Because most of the time, Spider-Man is making a decision that hurts his own life.
Yeah.
But it's the right thing to do. And that's why I've always loved Peter Parker. And I think that's a lesson I want to instill in him more than anything with superheroes, is that you do the right thing, especially when it's hard. You don't get lazy. You don't pawn it off on someone else.
Right.
You don't weasel out of it. You stand up. You know, if the hit's coming, sometimes you got to take the hit.
Yeah.
And, you know, and try to help other people. Put yourself out to help other people.
Yeah, I think there's two things, at least, on that topic. The first is, you know, I don't have terrible parents. My parents are great. But it never was I sat down and got, like, the Uncle Ben, well, listen, Peter, this is how you... You know, my dad never did that. And it was always more, like, by example. You just try to do the right thing. Your kids are paying attention. But I did get a lot of, like, how you behave, how you act, how you treat people, what you should expect from other people. Like, a lot of that comes from comics. And a lot of decision-making I make is based off morality I learned from Spider-Man and the X-Men and all these other things. But then another way, too, is even growing up, I was watching the Spider-Man cartoon, and we'd get to, like, science class, and it was, like, third or fourth grade or something. They started talking about, like, radiation, and it's like, oh, I know what I already knew what radiation was, and I knew all these crazy science terms. I mean, we even did a science project, and my grandma was, she lived with us when I was a kid, you know, she raised a lot of us, and it was... She'd be like, okay, and then she'd try to explain it, and I'd be like, well, no, radiation is, you know, there's atoms, and atoms are made of protons and neutrons, and she's like, how do you know all this? And it's like, oh, I watched Spider-Man. They talk about it. You know, I learned a lot about science from Spider-Man. In fact, I was playing with a Dr. Octopus animated toy and a Spider-Man, and I was fighting her. I was pretending to be him something. My grandma's in the kitchen. I'm playing with my little brother, and then I'm like, Dr. Octopus hits Spider-Man with his tentacles. And she thought I said testicles. And she put me
in... It seems like that wouldn't hurt him.
She put me in timeout for an hour. And I was crying my eyes out. Because I was like, I don't understand. And then she's like, you said a bad word. What did I say? And she's like, you said the doctor hit him with a part of his body that is not for fighting. And I'm like, tentacles? And she's like, what? Tentacles, like he's an octopus.
I'm gonna turn that back on you. You are such an ass for making your grandma feel like a dick like that.
I was in timeout for an hour.
You should feel such like an ass.
Are you kidding me?
You let your grandma put you in timeout for a damn.
I have
man sitting next to me.
ADD. I have ADD, and she'd put me in timeout for an hour. You know what an hour is as a kid to ADD? Are you kidding me?
It's like The Flash.
It's like Guantanamo Bay.
So this, your grandma thought about it for years.
That's that moment in Tower of Babel where that Mark Waid story where he puts Flash in total vibrate mode.
Yeah.
And then when they get him out, he goes, oh my God, there were weeks there where I just wanted to die. How long was I in there? 27 minutes.
Yeah.
That was your timeout.
That's what I feel like.
But Dave, back to the question.
You know, there's a lot of things. One is that I always feel like you forgive a person's character a lot if they have passion, right? And I feel like comic books embody that for me in so many different ways. From the storytelling aspects of it, where like there's a cathartic moment happening where you just, when you're older and you can process it, you're like, wow. Like from the making of the comic books, from seeing someone sit dedicated for 8 to 12 hours in drawing a page, you know, like that.
So even
dedication,
the craft of making it.
The craft
more
itself.
More than the fictional world.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like the craft itself. But the main thing also is like the relationship we have, and I remember I stole this from Scott McCloud when I read his book.
That's a brilliant book.
Oh yeah, I've read that. That's good.
Yeah, was
understanding comics.
Yeah,
right?
The in between the panels where your brain is active.
Right.
You know, and like that's where I really wanted to go is like because this is the only medium I know where like you interact and fill in that void with your entire imaginary world that they just give you little segments or symbols to take from one step to the next step. And it's you, the reader, that like processes that to bring them to life. And for me, like, that's you being the director. Like, they have to get there. Yeah, there's stills of A to B, but in between there is A.1, A.2, A.3 that my kid is going to go and create herself. Yeah. That I think is like by far the most ingenious way to have her thinking and like respecting the art of that form. So all around, like, it's almost, it sounds weird, but it's very like spiritual for me, the medium of comic book, the medium of telling a brilliant, beautiful story when it's done, like No Man's Land, all these stories that I've bought. Saga was the last one I think I did for Fate of Fatale, Chew, like all these really creative stories where like they're not limited to money, to their socioeconomic status, to their upbringing in any way. Like, this is just like, wow, like just a tweak, Manhattan Project, just a tweak of like fiction and making it fact in your world, and then doing vice versa, taking fact and world and making it fiction, is like, that's its life lesson itself. Like, I don't need a superhero, I don't need it. Like, that's it right there.
You just need a good story.
Yeah, man. You just need a really good story. And that's what the world is all about. Like, all we do for 90% of our day is tell stories. You know, we tell somebody how our day is. We tell somebody how our coffee tastes. We tell somebody, like, I mean, we're doing this right now to share, right? It is. That is, like, the foundation, the rock that, like...
It's the first art form, dude.
Yeah, and we do everything to, like, from writing letters to, like, drawing to whatever it is, to build to one thing. And I think comic books really embody that. But it's that one panel, dude, that one panel to the second panel, where I think if she could learn that she has the power to create those characters, what will stop her from creating anything in the world? You know, and like, that's the life lesson that I like try really hard to get to it, you know?
As always, you can follow me at Not In My Book. That is the official Caffeinated Comics Twitter handle. Like the Caffeinated Comics page on Facebook. Give us a review on iTunes.
For sure.
Follow us on Stitcher. We're on Stitcher.
Are we? I don't even know what a Stitcher is.
Yeah. It's a place where people who aren't you can listen to us.
Awesome.
Dave, you're on Twitter.
I am on Twitter, and I found out what it is. It's Omy, which is my first name, my real first name, H-O-M-M-Y, Gonzalez, G-O-N-Z-L-E-Z. I'm there now. I really enjoy it because I get to follow in all my favorite comic book artists and haunt them and ask them questions, besides at the cons where I haunt them for hours and hours at a time.
And Steven?
19 South LaGrange Road in LaGrange, Illinois.
Caffeinated Comics is a Not In My Book production.
Thank